one, a two, and a T, go!
This is fun, the FU Network.
For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow. Let's all say on the bus.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Won't you be mine? Would you be mine? Okay, that's a lie. It is not a beautiful day in my neighborhood. There's a freaking ice storm going on. But it was always a beautiful day in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Always those sky blue skies. Everything was nice and quiet, sedate. Everybody who came over was a friend. There was never somebody there who you wanted to get the hell out of your house, like in real life. Everything was nice and gentle in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. And there's a movie now starring Tom Hanks about Mr. Rogers' life, which is very interesting because the guy was actually a very interesting character. He wasn't, it's not like we're a movie where it shows him boozing and whoring or something like that. He was legitimately a DC guy. Yeah. There wasn't like, they didn't like, it's not like a scene where they go into like a motel room and he's there with three hookers. It's about him for real. And some of his life was a little difficult. And Tom Hanks plays Mr. Rogers. And it's interesting how nobody reaches back to criticize Tom Hanks for the fact that his career got started on a sitcom where he and Peter Scolari dressed up as women, cross-dressed, I guess, so that they could live cheap in a women's only building. And they did these caricatures of women. And nowadays you could not do that show. And other actors who tried to do stuff would have that, you know, people say, you did that 30 years ago, so that disqualifies you from humanity. Never Tom Hanks. Anyway, today we're going to talk about Mr. Rogers, our experiences growing up, not with Mr. Rogers, but watching Mr. Rogers, what messages we took from it, things of that nature, because we've been talking about some heavy topics in the past, and everybody likes Mr. Rogers, right? Well, we'll see. Joining us, Hafiz Noorani from Vancouver, our producer. Hello, Hafiz.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
I'm good. Kyle Gunderson from Saskatoon, where he says it's minus 20 degrees. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, guys.
Is it really 20 minus 20?
I just checked. I guess I lied. It's only minus 10. It feels like...
Oh, it's balmy. It's balmy weather in Saskatoon. Okay. Sean Wilton is joining us. Where are you calling from, Sean?
I'm still in New Westminster, BC.
New Westminster, BC. You say that with such sadness.
I miss Toronto. I'm sorry.
Okay. You miss Toronto? Well, I guess I've never been to Toronto. I've never lived in New Westminster, so I guess maybe I'd miss Toronto too. I moved out of Toronto, but not that far. And of course, joining us, Andrew Willis. Hello, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing damn good. I'm just hanging out in Mr. Rogers' leather closet. It's great in here. Some whips. I found some chains. It's great.
Oh, Andy. Okay. Well, here's the thing, Andy. My favorite part of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood was that little trolley. Remember the trolley in his house that would take you to the land of make-believe? Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you could get on that trolley and go get your takeout food like you did last week and then come back. Maybe you could use the trolley for that.
Why not? I love it when people run train on me.
Oh boy. Oh. No, Andy. You like the thought of people doing that. You don't know the reality. Okay. Mr. Rogers, interesting Canadian connection. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. Now, Hafiz, you didn't grow up here. Are you familiar with Mr. Dress Up?
Yes. You know what? Those shows actually did broadcast everywhere else.
Really?
Yeah. So I think Kuwait or someone had had Mr. Dress Up, and you could get that.
I would love to know what Kuwaiti children were thinking of Mr. Rogers.
Well, look, back then, North American and British shows were the only real thing that was television. So the Middle Eastern countries back then used to just buy all these foreign shows and put them on their TV networks. And one of them was Mr. Rogers. I think Mr. Dressup was another one. So, yeah.
I would love to see a Kuwaiti children's show broadcast here. I'd love to see just the cultural differences. And wow, that must have been interesting. All right. Anyway, Mr. Dressup, his name was Ernie Coombs. May he rest in peace. A true Canadian icon. People call me a Canadian icon, and thank you very much. But Mr. Dressup, my God, if you were born in Canada or you were a child in Canada growing up, you knew Mr. Dressup, Casey and Finnegan, the little puppets, Casey with the high voice. In fact, Andy, you remind me a bit of Casey. And Finnegan, who was his dog, who only ever whispered in his ear. But it was a great, gentle show. The interesting thing is that Ernie Coombs, Mr. Dressup, started out as an assistant puppeteer to Fred Rogers in Pittsburgh on a show called Children's Corner. Most people don't know about that connection. They became close friends, and Mr. Rogers' first TV show was in Canada. And it was called Mr. Rogers. So instead of Mr. Rogers, they made the common R, one word, Mr. Rogers. And Mr. Dressup worked with him there. And then Fred Rogers decided 3 years later, screw this. He went back to the States, and he created Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, whereas Ernie Coombs stayed here, did a TV series called Butternut Square, which eventually became Mr. Dressup. So there is a Canadian connection between Mr. Dressup, who I would say is kind of Canada's Mr. Rogers, and Mr. Rogers. So let's talk about Mr. Rogers. I'm not going to go to Andy first. Hafiz, interesting, you say that it was broadcast around the world, so you did see Mr. Rogers when you were younger. So what did you think when you watched Mr. Rogers? What was the feeling? What did you think of the guy? What did you take from the show?
You know what? The first time I saw Mr. Rogers was, I had to be about 5 or 6 years old, and I was visiting my uncle in L.A. And obviously, you have an entire channel in North America dedicated to children's television, and that blew my fucking mind away. And of course, there's this nice guy, Mr. Rogers, and he had this train, and he had this toy set, and all those puppets, and it blew my mind away, and how nice this guy was, though. And I think that always stuck around. And his ability to just go and say hello to new people and introduce themselves. I think that had some sort of effect on me, too, where it made me a little bit more of an outgoing kid to, you know, say hello to a random person.
Really? At the time, a lot of ads were saying, don't say hello to random people.
I was not that kid. I was that kid that talked to everyone and started up conversations with strangers, and they'd end up becoming my parents' friends.
Well, I'm glad you're still here and not at the bottom of some river. Okay. Sean Wilton, your earliest impressions of Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, I kind of like Hafiz. I was probably started watching around the same time, around 5 or 6, as far as I can remember. It was always a great show. To be perfectly honest, I hate to say this, but Mr. Dressup was always more of my favorite.
Why do you hate to say that? It's proud Canadian.
That's true.
I met Ernie Coombs. He was a fine man.
I also was a big fan of The Friendly Giant. I don't know if you guys remember.
Oh, that. Where's that boot? Look up. Look way up. And I'll call Rusty. Remember that? Of course, everyone remembers that. A rocking chair for two to curl up in. Bob Homme was The Friendly Giant. Yeah, very, very, very Canadian show. But Mr. Rogers, let's get back to him. What were your, you know... Okay, he wasn't your favorite children's TV show, but you watched him. What messages do you think he had any effect on your life? Anything effect on your the development of your young mind?
I would say so. Yeah, his teaching of kindness and forgiveness. He pretty much the gambit of things that any child should know. He taught it. And I think he was a huge influence on especially kids of the 80s. And I think he was, I think, to be perfectly honest, I think we're better off because of him. He was such a huge influence on so many kids.
All right. And I should have to correct you. I think you meant Gambit, not Gambit.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah, Gambit is that crappy X-Men character. Okay, so again, a positive influence. Let's go to Kyle. Kyle, your thoughts on Mr. Rogers, his effect on you when as a young Kyle Gunderson?
As a young Kyle Gunderson, I don't really remember a lot of his messages other than kind of the underlying tone of kindness. But one thing I do remember about him in particular was he always talked to the audience, whereas other shows would be just kind of talking to each other and you're watching them. Whereas with him, and Mr. Dressup definitely took this from him, was to talk to the kids, talk to the audience, and it felt like you were making more of a connection. And I think that was huge in driving that point home of, you know, be kind, do whatever.
That's very interesting. Everybody so far has used the word kind, which I think is, if he's listening to this podcast from the hereafter, I'm sure he'd be very happy that that one word is the thing that so far has summed up his work amongst us. Now, for the darker side, let's go to Andy Willis. Andy, your thoughts of Mr. Rogers.
Oh, terrible. Throwing around the N-word, beating up Wheezy. Just the worst. Absolutely the worst. I actually really liked him, to be quite honest. I thought he was really neat. I watched a lot of Fred Penner as a kid. That was sort of like more my thing. What I liked about Mr. Rogers especially is that he, again, was talking to the audience. I was mesmerized because you would just sit there and just be, it was just him and you, and there wasn't too much going on. Everything was very focused in a very unfocused world. And I like the idea of, like, you get on the choo-choo train and you just enter into this new world, and it's, King Friday, who I thought was pretty funny. I just thought it was, and Daniel. I mean, it was a very sweet.
Daniel, that was what I was talking about. Daniel Tiger, right? The one that was quiet?
Yeah, that's Daniel.
Daniel Tiger, I forgot about that. I think that was named after one of his kids or something. Anyway, so everybody's had a positive, had positive memories of Mr. Rogers. Let me ask you this, Andy. You're open, Andy and Kyle are both gay men. Do either one of you, and I'll start with you, Andy, do you think Mr. Rogers helped make you gay?
You know what? I for once in my life, I don't know what to say.
Of course, it's an absurd question.
You know what? I don't think so. No.
All right, Kyle?
I 100% agree with Andy in that. No, Mr. Rogers did not help make me gay.
No, I think the biology is actually what makes people gay or not gay. But
I mean, Captain Kangaroo definitely made me gay. That I can say.
It was all those ping pong balls falling from the sky.
Craziness.
You had this image of balls on your face. Is that what
it
gave you?
Oh, my God. That blonde mop of hair and that mustache. My God.
Well, we know what kind of daddies you like. I ask you that question because there was, at the time, I mean, when I was growing up, was a different time from when you guys were growing up. And there was there were parents who didn't let their kids watch Mr. Rogers because he was so contrary to what the image of a man was in the media in those days. I mean, remember, this is when I grew up was the age of Dirty Harry, Clint Eastwood, things like that. And then you had Mr. Rogers. And there were parents who didn't let their sons watch Mr. Rogers because they were afraid that he would turn them gay. Like that episode of The Simpsons. Did he give you gay? They thought that Mr. Rogers showing that a man could be gentle, could be kind, turn the other cheek, that he spoke, you know, very softly. They were afraid that kids would see that their boys would see that, and somehow that would make them gay, which goes to show you how stupid the people were at the time that I was growing up as a kid. But there were people who didn't let their kids watch Mr. Rogers because he demonstrated these qualities as a man that were not being celebrated societally as the qualities that made you a man. None of you guys, I don't think, are of my vintage, but can you imagine a time when people would say, don't watch Mr. Rogers because he'll turn you homosexual? Sean, absolutely. Sean, can you imagine it's such a stupid thing?
Oh, I could imagine it in that day and time. I think Fred was kind of ahead of the curve as far as to what we expect men to be in this day and age, as far as being understanding and receptive, and basically defining what this entire podcast is about, and being a strong man, but a strong man who's also has all these other characteristics and isn't just an emotional void.
That's very well put. That was very well put.
Yeah.
What about you, Hafiz? Does it surprise you that there was some parents, some dads and moms who said, don't watch Mr. Rogers because the qualities he's demonstrating may make you, as Andy calls it, a pickle kisser?
Oh, dear. Look, I think anyone that was speaking out against Mr. Rogers probably had this issue with the emotions that he was bringing out, very positive emotions, and how you treat people. And I think for some parents at that time, they'd see this really, really nice person, and they would assume that the only way you could be that nice or be that much anti-violence and whatnot was if you were gay. And that it's a ridiculous notion. The guy was a very devout Christian, but he never brought his religion into his show, which was another thing I found really interesting. He was very devout, but he brought a different aspect of his religious belief, and that was the kindness. And I think that goes to show that these parents that saw this kindness and assumed that it was homosexuality, it probably speaks more to them as who they are as parents.
Or to the society that they were in.
Exactly.
Because what happened? I mean, because we would all watch Mr. Rogers and see this kindness. And then after, we outgrew watching Mr. Rogers, we would then be subjected to media images of men that were very different depictions of what masculinity is.
Look, Mr. Rogers stood up to Nixon before everyone else was standing up to Nixon when Nixon was trying to cut off funding for public broadcasting. And I mean, we didn't see that kind of anti-education mindset until Mitt Romney in the 2012 election. But back then, Nixon was ready to cut off PBS, cut off shows like Mr. Rogers, Sesame Street, and all that. And he took up the mantle and defended it, and he got that money.
Well, so, I mean, now you spoiled the whole movie. I'm just kidding. I haven't seen it. I don't know if that was a spoiler alert. But it was just interesting how we grew up.
It's like ruining the Titanic movie.
Thanks. Yeah, the aliens come and save it at the end.
Wait for Titanic 2.
That was Titanic 2, The Revenge?
Yes. Now sinkier.
Yeah, this time it's personal. Yes. It's interesting, though, that we're all of different ages. We all took the same messages from Mr. Rogers. The central one being, it was okay to be kind, to be male and be kind. And yet we were then exposed to images of men as we grew up who were not kind, who that was not their, not the main thing that made them men. Mr. Rogers was almost a bizarro Superman version of the kind of men we would then go on to watch on television. So it's interesting that everybody has still retained that idea that it was okay to be kind. And you guys have so far said, and correct me if I'm wrong, that message of being kind as a man, or as a human being, actually stayed embedded in you. Is that true, Andy Willis?
Definitely. I actually even remember as a kid, I couldn't have a Bert and Ernie lampshade because my my aunt and uncle both thought that Bert and Ernie were gay, and that was like a huge issue for them. So,
which is so strange because Bert and Ernie didn't even exist below the waist.
That is true. I feel the same way. So, you know, there you go. But
I guess genitalia to be gay, Ed.
Well, you don't love need genitalia to be gay. No, but they didn't even exist. It wasn't even a factor.
Way less fun.
Yeah, it makes it way less fun. Yeah, you're right, Kyle. Love is love, even if your body stops at the waist.
Love is love 10 degrees below zero. You're still feeling good.
All right, but you were saying you couldn't have the Bert and Ernie lampshade.
I couldn't have the Bert and Ernie lampshade because my aunt and uncle both thought that Bert and Ernie were very gay, which would be a negative influence on me. My lampshade with two smiling Muppets would be a huge issue. I looking at Mr. Rogers, when I'd watch Mr. Rogers, there was like never any like this thing is a male or a female or this, or these are like certain roles that you need to perform, or like this is how you cook and like do. It was like he just kind of went out into the world and invited people along with him, including the viewer, and he spoke directly to you and said, hey, these are the people that are out there, but we're not going to get too concerned about what makes them, but just, you know, how kind they are to each other. And that's what I really liked was the activities. And it was like taking a field trip with someone who's concerned about, you know, getting along with one another and not necessarily about who that person is and how can we categorize them. I loved it.
It's interesting. Oh, go on.
I think there's one other aspect I really liked was the fact that he interacted with everyday people from the neighborhood. People that your parents might not talk to, like the mailman or the milkman or someone like that, right?
Totally.
And give that person's job a level of honor that traditional society might not, right?
I love that.
It gave everyone a human face instantly, and it showed value in the work that they did.
That's very profound. I didn't expect that kind of profundity on this episode. But you make a good point. Though I do have to say that Speedy McFeely, the mailman who used to come in on the bicycle, who I believe that McFeely was his wife's, Mr. Rogers' wife's maiden name or something like that. what are you laughing at? I think that was her name.
No, it is. It's funny. I don't know.
It's because it's Feely? Yeah, okay.
I don't know. Mr. McFeely was weird, though. Like, he seemed like the kind of guy that, like, could you imagine if a Mr. McFeely actually existed today?
I think I would be afraid that Mr. McFeely, I wouldn't want to go and start digging up his basement. If you know what I mean. But I remember one episode where Mr. Rogers decided he had a little wading pool, like a little plastic pool out front full of water. And he decided to take his shoes and socks off and just put his feet in the water and twinkle his toes in the water. And Mr. McFeely showed up and he invited Mr. McFeely to do that too. So Mr. McFeely sitting there, takes his shoes and socks off, and they're both putting they're twinkling their toes or whatever in the water. And I remember a family member walking in and saying, this is the gayest shit I've ever seen. that was not a very informed time. So let's go. Now, of course, I, being a puppet, am partial to the fact that he had a whole kingdom of puppets, the land of make-believe. As I already mentioned, I loved the idea of a trolley. I would still to this day love, who wouldn't love having like a trolley car with tracks that goes through your house, various, you know, places through your house. A few years ago, I was in LA at this sushi joint and they had basically a conveyor belt that went all through the restaurant between the booths. And they put the food on there and you could just take the food off the conveyor belt and put it on your plate, then they would come and they would, you know, tally it up when you were done. But I remember thinking of Mr. Rogers when this conveyor belt would go all the way through the restaurant and be part of, you know, the way the restaurant operated and served, and you'd just grab things off there. I mean, I loved the damn trolley. But there was also the puppets. And they, before we get to them, actually, Andy has a point he wants to make. Andy?
Yeah, sorry, I muted my mic. Yeah,
I thought you were across the street again getting food.
I was not. No, something I really want to bring up that a lot of people don't know much about is that Mr. Rogers produced a special episode to help parents guide their children through the trauma of Robert F. Kennedy's assassination. This is something that was unprecedented. There was no programming that was really looking at children and saying, how would this affect them? And Mr. Rogers, of course, I guess being way ahead of the game, said, why don't we produce a show that brings up and talks about this world event, but speak specifically towards children?
That's interesting. Because I can't imagine now any children's show taking a tragedy serious, like that and actually even talking about it. Like, I don't know if Sesame Street ever handled 9/11. And you know, I remember the difficulty on Sesame Street in trying to handle the death of Mr. Hooper, the guy who the nice old man who owned the variety store.
Right.
And interesting that Mr. Rogers back then in the 60s took the time and made it a show that would help parents contextualize horrible news for kids who hurt. I mean, because as kids, you hear these bad things happening in the world, but children's shows rarely ever touch on it and help contextualize it for kids in ways that make the world seem a little less scary. Interesting point. Interesting point. So let's go on to puppets. Go on. Who's the Hafiz? Was that you?
Didn't he do release something after 9/11 and that was like sort of a message to all the adults about the world that they live in, not being like the world that he talked about, and but that's okay because he still loves them. I remember seeing that video. It was a short time before he died, and I swear to God, I cried because it was basically putting you back into that position of being a kid listening to Mr. Rogers again, and that voice and that message.
I think any time, no matter what age you were, when you watched Mr. Rogers, you were back to being that kid in front of the TV watching Mr. Rogers. But let's talk about the puppets in the land of make-believe. Sean Wilton, who were your favorites?
To be perfectly honest, I barely even remember the puppets on the
show. So the hell with you. Kyle Gunderson. Your favorite puppets from the land of make-believe.
I don't remember the puppets too much aside from King Friday and Daniel the Tiger. Those were the two that stood out. And I think there was a cat.
Lady Elaine Fairchild.
Oh, yes, Henrietta the Pussycat. I am Googling.
Henrietta the Pussycat.
Oh, my.
X the Owl.
Yeah, I...
Ed the Sock. No, wrong one.
No, I was not on that show. Lady Elaine Fairchild scared the hell out of me.
Yes, she had a very fucked up face.
Yeah. I guess that was to show that beauty, that physical features don't... Wait, was she evil? I don't remember. Was she scheming?
She had like a really... She's a mischievous one, yes, and a troublemaker. And she had like really red, rosy cheeks and a red nose. I figured she was the alcoholic of the group, so...
It's interesting that as a child you knew what an alcoholic looked like. Lady Elaine Fairchild always sort of freaked me out because King Friday seemed like this very distant, aloof ruler. Daniel Tiger never spoke. So I was like, what the hell's wrong with Daniel Tiger? Like someone should take him to a shrink. Even as a kid, I was like, something's wrong with Daniel Tiger. But Lady Elaine Fairchild was
she was a lesbian.
You know this with authority?
I do. I absolutely do.
I'm pretty sure it's a haircut.
King Friday was an absolute gay lord. I believe this to be true. Even when I was a kid, I was like, she reminds me of my friend who goes by Aunt Margot.
Who, King Friday reminds of your friend Aunt Margot?
No, Lady Elaine.
Oh, okay. And Aunt Margot is a lesbian.
You know, she smoked a stogie. She was part of the RCMP, rode a motorcycle.
I don't know. Yeah, well, there was something about her face that first of all, I could never really, like, even as I'm picturing it now, it seemed like the face was always moving or something, even though it was clearly not moving. Like, I couldn't get a solid bead on what, because there was so much going on that face. King Friday's face was simple. Daniel Tiger's face was simple. The cat's face was simple. Lady Elaine Fairchild's face was, there were so many crags and things like that going on that I don't know. This is neither here nor there. Let's see. Who else? Wants, I think I've hit everybody. Hafiz, who are your favorite puppets?
Definitely King Friday and the tiger. What's his name? Daniel the Striped Tiger. Those were definitely, yeah.
Who was the owl?
The owl was X the Owl. He was an original DMX character, I guess.
I'm just looking up online, Lady Elaine Fairchild.
Easygoing, relaxed sort of owl who loves to learn. Yeah, sounds like a stoner to me. Yeah.
For anyone looking for them, you can go to mrrogers.org/puppets.
That's yes.
Yeah, you can see that there was a lot of them that most of us don't remember. Isn't that interesting? We remember just a very few.
Harriet Elizabeth Cow, that was one I don't remember.
I think she was on for a very short time.
Anna and the Platypus Family.
Yeah, I don't remember them. Lady Elaine, if you look.
Tuesday. Prince Tuesday, I remember.
Yeah. Prince Tuesday. Oh, yeah, Prince Tuesday. And Henrietta Pussycat, I do remember. Queen Sarah Saturday. Harriet Elizabeth Cow. I mean, they were interesting puppets. I always liked when they went to the puppet section more than I liked when they were in the human section. I liked the land of make-believe better. I don't know why. I don't know if he actually did any of the puppets. And of course, everyone knows there's the cardigan sweaters that he was famous for. And does anybody today actually own a cardigan sweater and wear
yes.
them?
Yes.
Fees yes. does? Okay.
No. God, no.
No?
I do. Okay. And whenever I put it on, I think I'm being Mr. Rogers.
Is that so, Kyle? Do you come in? Do you change your shoes and put on a cardigan? But you know, we wanted to do this show because it was, you know, to be lighter. But what's interesting is here we are, men of different generations. All of us took early messages, you know, early childhood messages from this man, Mr. Rogers, who taught us that kindness was okay, that showing love to other human beings was okay, being different was okay.
Like, you could be a guy and not be a dick. That was the biggest thing.
Yeah, and you know what the thing is? I don't know about the rest of you, but I thought, okay, sure, but that's just Mr. Rogers. The rest of the world isn't like that. Like, that's Mr. Rogers was like a fictional character. I understood the examples he was setting, I thought, yeah, that works for Mr. Rogers. I don't know that I actually connected it to anything in the outside world. Kyle, did you?
At the time, no, but looking at the world we're in now, I think it has affected a lot of the men around me.
You think we're in like, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood now?
I think more men are showing compassion. They're showing caring. They're working towards, you know, being a more well-rounded human.
I would argue, though, the world that we live in today, where we're standing up for people more, might come from this notion that we had from Mr. Rogers, where kindness actually matters, and where we're standing up against people that are bullying people in the workplace, people that are, you know, abusing women, things like that. This entire generational shift to caring about people's feelings, while let's face it, it's not unilateral across everyone, we can almost trace that back maybe to this era of where we had television and we had these young kids watching it, and now those kids are adults. And
well, what does that say then? What would that say then, Sean Wilton? If you agree with this, first of all, do you agree with Hafiz's statement there?
Yeah, I would agree. I was just going to add that I would say the world has gotten more Mr. Rogers than John Wayne, because I think Mr. Rogers is kind of the antithesis to John Wayne in a lot of ways. And the reason why I bring that up is because there was recently, about a week ago, somebody had tweeted out, some conservative idiot decided to post out saying that Mr. Rogers, for the release of the Rogers movie, that Mr. Rogers was a bad influence on men, and men should have been more like John Wayne and not Mr. Rogers.
You mean men should have been fake cowboys who wore tons of makeup and changed their names from Marion? I mean, that's what we all should have been, because yeah. John Wayne was a freaking construct. I mean, there's younger people listening to us who's like, who the hell's John Wayne? I mean, once a strong cultural icon, now a cultural artifact, if you can even remember him. But here's the thing. If we were all affected of different generations by watching Mr. Rogers, what is going to be the thing that affects generations going forward now who don't have Mr. Rogers? What do you think, Sean?
While we were chatting here, I'd actually noticed that this new show called Daniel the Tiger was actually taken from Mr. Rogers, and she's continuing on, the creator of this show, who also created Blue's Clues, is continuing on the Mr. Rogers legacy using the Daniel the Tiger animated show. So I think his legacy is still living on even after his death. It's just coming out through other people.
Well, the thing is that when Mr. Rogers was on, there wasn't this huge plethora of children's TV programs. There was, you had Saturday morning cartoons, and you had, you know, a smattering. Most local stations had some kind of thing for kids. But nowadays, there's so much media for kids, for young kids to be
introduced
to. I think Netflix
kind of ruined the idea of watching cartoons, because there's so much of it out there now, and so much of it is crap on Netflix, that it's hard to get the diamond out of it, the one that actually is amazing. Now, on top of that, you've also got YouTube now, where content creator, anybody can become a Mr. Rogers, but then you have to try finding that amongst all the other YouTube crap that's out there. So I'm sure it's there. It's just really hard for you know, a child or a parent to find.
Well, nothing is going to have the singular powerful effect that TV once had, because there's no such thing as a mass audience anymore. But I wonder, Andy Willis, if you think that Mr. Rogers' legacy that is being lived out now, as men themselves are comfortable showing compassion and kindness and stuff, if that isn't continuing Mr. Rogers' mission, and kids, young kids today, next generation, don't need to watch Mr. Rogers to see a man who shows kindness and compassion and empathy, because their dad may very well be doing that for them and setting that example. What do you think?
I think no matter what happens, people should always watch Mr. Rogers. When I have kids, as crazy as I'm sure they're all going to be, I'm sitting them down. They're watching Mr. Rogers every day. You know, it reminds me of such a good time in my life when there was a lot of bad times happening, either in my home or around me. So I think really, you know, yes, now I can be a good person. You can be a good person. We can all be good people and kind of bestow that same message of kindness. That isn't always the case. That isn't always the world we live in. So until that happens, we can all be better people 100% of the time. I'm putting my kids in front of Mr. Rogers, and even myself, maybe, after a little bit of weed.
You know, the thought of you raising young minds, being a father, it scares the shit out of me, Andy.
That's good. That's a great thing.
I'm glad you frightened me. Any last words on Mr. Rogers, Kyle?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there, Ed, rather than it being on TV, people are leading by example now. Like, I look at all of my friends with kids, and every last one of the dads is a lot more compassionate than a previous generation. You know, they'll talk with their son or daughter about, you know, feelings, and spend that time actually talking with the kids and teaching them things. Like my one friend's kid knows how to identify plants by leaves, and he's not even five. And they're all just very compassionate people. So I think that's where it's going to go, is the people who grew up on Mr. Rogers are now realizing the importance of that kind male figure and spending that time showing children that this is okay and expected in the world.
All right, Hafiz?
I think Mr. Rogers is going to be this sort of icon that we're always going to remember. I really hope that there's some way that that show can be preserved and brought back or to the kids. And, you know, I think all in all, the guy would be pretty happy with what he left society with, because I think for me, what I really always appreciated is how he talked to whatever would be conceived of as a child on that show, so one of the puppets, when they'd done something wrong, and that soft tone. And maybe if society could bring some more of that discourse back, of how you disagree with someone and find a better way forward.
No freaking kidding. No kidding. Interesting. You said hopefully people can find Mr. Rogers. I'm sure it's available on YouTube or on the internet, and I know that there's DVD collections of it. But Sean Wilton, do you think that kids today, if you were to sit them down in front of a DVD of Mr. Rogers, that they'd actually want to watch that? Or would they get bored based on the fact that they're bombarded with images so fast everywhere else that this will just move too slow? What do you think?
I think you're completely right. I think I've tried to do it with my daughter, and I have failed miserably. I've tried to put on many things that I enjoyed as a kid in front of her, and she wants her, I guess, sugar-coated shows for ADD kids, like her YouTube videos. You know, it's hard, because like what I loved about Mr. Rogers is the show was slow, and it was slow on purpose, and it was personal. Like every moment was impactful, where now it's just like throw as much at you as possible and hope to keep your attention.
Interesting. I think you're right. I think that I remember watching Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which is a great movie. If some of you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's an amazing movie. I'm sorry, it's from the 70s, so some people think, oh, what value can that have? Great movie, starring Richard Dreyfuss, and I watched it with a kid who was 13 at the time, and he happens to be an intelligent kid, but it made me realize that back in the 70s and in the 80s, less in the 80s, but movies and TV shows breathed. We had long scenes. It wasn't cut. Things didn't have to move so fast. And I realized that Close Encounters of the Third Kind, it's a great movie, and it takes its time to build. It builds suspense. But watching it today for somebody young, it's slow. It's too slow for them. They get fidgety. Yeah. I hope that, the comments that you guys have made about how Mr. Rogers now lives on in the men that he raised as boys and who are now raising young boys and girls, and that example, you don't have to watch Mr. Rogers. You can watch your own dad or other male role models who are exhibiting the kind of qualities that Mr. Rogers taught them when they were kids. Who knows? Let's hope so. I mean, there's still a lot of assholes out there. Maybe we should sit them down Clockwork Orange style, make them watch Mr. Rogers DVDs. But interesting show, interesting. I didn't think that everybody would have the same core memories of Mr. Rogers, and yet here we all do. And what a tribute to a very singular figure who, let's face it, once a generation or two from now, people aren't even going to remember who the hell he is or what the hell that was. But his effect, hopefully, will still be permeating society. Not the present Conservative Party of Canada leadership, but everybody else will hopefully want to go forward with that level of kindness, and that it's okay when you're a man to show empathy, to show compassion, to show humanity, to care about other people, to care about people who aren't like you. You don't have they don't have to be the same skin color or religion or anything like that. Hopefully, he was part. I think that he had a greater effect on where we are today as men than people give him credit for. So hats off to you, Fred Rogers, wherever you are in the great beyond. I know that he was a Christian minister, I believe. So hopefully he got to the afterlife that he believed would be waiting for him. So Sean Wilton, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Kyle Gunderson, thank you from Saskatoon. Don't slather on the suntan lotion, even though it's only minus 10 there now.
Will do.
All right. Andy Willis, thank you for actually staying for an entire episode without turning your mic off, going and getting something to eat from some other store outside, and then coming back. Thank you for showing actually the ability to control your impulses enough to sit for a half an hour or so and join our conversation.
That's what Pop-Tarts are for.
All right. Pop-Tarts are a great idea. Never so tasty as they look on the commercials.
I know.
And Hafiz Narani, our producer, also digital analyst and content marketing specialist. I want to thank you for putting this show together.
You're very welcome, Ed. This has been a really fun one, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's nice sometimes to do a show that's about nice things, because we'll be back to talking about society's ills and how we can try to be better men in 2019/2020 next week.
But everyone it's nice be every more now. Like Mr. Rogers, yeah, is the message from this episode.
Yeah, everyone be more like Mr. Rogers and be more like Kyle Gunderson and be put on cardigans. Okay, thank you all very much. And I want to, if you guys out there have enjoyed this little gentle episode of Mansplaining, or any of the other episodes of Mansplaining, or any of the other FU politics shows, then do me a favor. I know everything on the internet is free, and you believe you're entitled to everything free. But guess what? This content takes time and effort to make. As much as it seems like we just get together and shoot the shit, it takes time and effort to construct and prepare and edit and put out there and manage the websites and all the other stuff. And if you think that, you know, this is totally in line with Mr. Rogers, who was on PBS, which always had pledge breaks because they had memberships that they would get from the public to help support public broadcasting. People would donate money to help support public broadcasting. I'm asking you guys to go out there, and not my panel. I'm asking you people who are listening, the people who are, I would say, the anti-Mr. Rogers crowd have a lot of money. They're putting a lot of money into programming out there to try to change the way we see the world, relate to each other, and relate to the world. They're trying to undo the work of Mr. Rogers. We have created a very successful network which focuses on civility, respect, and sense of humor. But also, the politics discussions are much more centrist. Nobody's setting their hair on fire, screaming, no radicals, because we're all sick of that. We're all sick of the yelling and the fighting. If you support that, then do me a favor. Become a subscriber on Patreon. Starts at a buck a month. A dollar a month is easy enough. A dollar a month. We have one person now who's given $100 a month. I hope that continues. I'm suspicious that after 2 months, they'll say no. A dollar, $5, $20, whatever you can afford per month at patreon.com/FU Network TV. Again, patreon.com/FU Network TV. Patreon is spelled patreon.com/FU Network TV. Or if you want to just, hey, you want to just give us a one-time boost, a little infusion of cash to help keep us going as we build towards getting advertisers, because the advertising agency we had signed with turned out to be a bunch of fucking idiots, and so we had to can them. So help us out. PayPal, you can send it to us at our email address, FU Network TV fu.network.tv@gmail.com. It's one word, fu.network.tv@gmail.com. So help us out. Be a part of what we're building here. And I don't remember if Mr. Rogers had a sign-off.
He did.
What was it?
It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a great song.
Okay. I'm sorry I asked. thank you all for listening. This has been Mensplaining. Men talking with other men about how to be better men in our modern, constantly changing world, otherwise known as cucks. So thanks for listening to Cucksplaining here on FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network. For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, let's all say all of us. This is Fun, the FU Network.